Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well and ready for a service tonight. Had a wonderful afternoon. It's a beautiful day the Lord's given us. I was telling someone this morning, it's just like summer's here. There's no doubt about it. So really excited about this time of year. I like, as Brother Eddie said in his message, I like all the seasons. I like them all. Just thank the Lord for each and every one. Let's all stand, if you will. We'll go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Just going to go ahead and just say, if you have a prayer request tonight, just show by raising your hand. Let's remember all those sick and shut in, not able to be with us. Those, welcome to First Pentecostal. If you're watching on the live feed or at a later date, we just love each and every one. If you have a prayer request, please put it in the comment section, and we'll be glad to pray with you. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, we love you. And, Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity you've given us to come into your house. Lord, may we gather together in one mind and one accord, Lord, ready just to worship and praise you, ready to receive your word, Lord. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to have a free ring amongst each and every one of us, dear Lord. May we put all of our focus on you, all of our direction on you. Lord, now as we lift up those that are sick, those that are in needs, each and every prayer request that's filling our hearts this evening, Lord, we ask you to touch each one. Dear Lord, we know that you can be with those who have lost a loved one. Lord, those that need strengthening. Dear Lord, those that have medical issues that are prepared to be handled, or those that are waiting on results of tests. Lord, there's so many prayer requests have gone forth. But, dear Lord, we love you. And, dear Lord, we just give you all the honor. Lord, we know that you've got all of our lives into your mighty hand. And, dear Lord, we're releasing it to you right now, dear Lord. We're just seeking that peace that only you can give us, to Lord, seep in that that opportunity we have, to Lord, to feel your holy presence. Lord, we ask now that you'll bless our pastor and his family, strengthen them, each and every ministry that's going forth out of our congregation. To Lord, we ask now as we prepare, getting closer to Vacation Bible School, to Lord, we ask you to guide it. Lord, as all the preparations going into place, to Lord, and all the other ministries, the Ida Bell, this meeting Tuesday night, we pray for them, dear Lord. And to Lord, we just thank you for your love. Lord, now as we continue with this service, dear Lord, we release it to you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Praise God. While you're standing, one very familiar, but I just feel led tonight, page 92, Just a Little Talk with Jesus. I need y'all to help. Everybody just lift up the Lord this evening.
Sin, but Jesus took me in, and the little light from heaven filled my soul. It baked my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk. by and by.
When you feel a little prayer will turn,
and you'll
know a little fire is burning,
you will find
a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my thoughts is clear without a ray of tear, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry sky, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way.
Yes, Lord,
let us have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will
hear our pain is crying. He'll answer by and by.
When you feel a little prayer will turn,
and you'll know a little fire is burning. Have a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes are filled with tears, but Jesus, friend who watches day and night, I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. Talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He'll
hear our faintest cries.
He will
answer by and by.
And when you
feel a little prayer will turn,
and you'll
know a little fire is burning,
you will find
have a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
Good this evening. I just love the Lord. But you know, it seems, you know, there are times in my life that it just seems so simple. Somebody would say, well, all you got to do is give your life to the Lord. Just invite him in and just let him know that he's there willing and waiting, that his love just wants us to receive him. Just like that song, just find a little talk with Jesus. You know, it may seem very simple, but it's very serious. And sometimes we really have to fall all the way down as low as we seem like when we go for, we finally hit down and say, Lord, I got to give it to you. But if we'd go ahead and release it to him and make him part of our life daily and in our journey and everything that we do as we wake up in the mornings, as we're preparing for the day, and as we go through the day on our way home, and then at night, just give it to the Lord. Just find that little talk with Jesus. It makes it right. Amen. Amen. Lord, praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Got a couple of, just want to remind everybody about Vacation Bible School. I'm not trying to beat y'all up with the announcements, but there are those that haven't been with us for a while. Don't forget, mark your calendar. July 10th, that Sunday evening, will be the kickoff, and it'll go through the 13th, which will be that Wednesday. Also, this Saturday morning, we need all hands on deck. We show up here at 8 a.m. ready to work, and we'll get our church cleanup done, and it's not going to take that long into the day if we all get it done. There'll be a list for us, and we'll find out exactly what we need to do. So praise God. Praise God. All right, got some help coming up. All right. Come on up, Brother Trey. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our evening offering? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. evening. Sister Linda, if you would, come on up. And then after her, Brother Jim, and then Miss Tabitha. And then I'm going to ask the band if they give me time to pick out something. Y'all find out something to pick for us this evening. And then Miss Jennifer will do a song for us. Praise the Lord.
Well, what appropriate song, I thought, for the offering to be taken up with. And because I'm going to sing, I want to stroll over heaven with you. So y'all worship the Lord as I try this. If I survey all the good things that come to me from above, if I count all the blessings from God's storehouse above, I'd simply ask for a favor of Him beyond mortal king. I'm sure He'd grant it again and again. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all my troubles and heartaches have vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. So many places of beauty we long to see here below, but time and treasures have kept us from making plans, as you know. But come that morning of the rapture, together we'll stand anew, while I stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all these troubles and heartaches have vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all these troubles and heartaches have vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you.
Thank you. You know, that song she just sang is so much truth in that. But you know, that day may be sooner than we think. Strolling over heaven. Amen. I'm going to do a song for you. I have not done this before. This is kind of new, so bear with me, okay? But this song, it brings to mind John 4:14, where it says, Jesus is speaking, and he says, whoever drinketh of this water, I shall give you, right? Everlasting life. You never thirst again. And the lyrics in the song is to me, is just awesome. Okay?
There is a river. and it flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water, there's a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. There was a thirsty woman. She was drawing from the well. You see, her life was ruined and wasted, and her soul was bound for hell. Over him she met the Master, and he told about her sin. And he said, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. There is a river, and it flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water, there's a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. The river that never shall run
God Almighty, who was of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Yeah. Holy, holy. To come with all creation, I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Thank you.
Jennifer to do one, and then we'll turn over to Brother Ed.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. E flat. Praise the Lord. When clouds of doubt hover o'er me, storm clouds toss me to and fro, there is a place I can go, 'cause He's a ship for every tempest, He's an anchor that is sure, and in times like this, it's good to know. He's a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God is my refuge, yes, He is. Without Him, what would I do? Once I wandered from the shelter up ahead, I could not see those dark clouds so heavy with rain, and then the wind blew so hard against me, He called out and I ran to Him.
Power, refuge, all the time, no matter what we're facing. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to have a good time praying and singing and shouting. And if you like that, you're going to love heaven. How many loves the Word, too? Brother Chris is going to be bringing the Word to us tonight. Give the Lord a hand as He comes to bring forth the message.
Amen.
Lord bless Brother Chris.
I'm most sure there's going to be picking in heaven.
I tell you, that brings back so many memories. Greg, I'm just going to go with one verse before you put it up, the Ephesians 6 verse. God just changed everything up on me, but it's all right. His show anyway. Amen? It's all about Him. You know, Brother Jim, as you were singing that, there is a river. Revelation 22, the first part, came to mind. You know, there is a river in heaven. It comes from the throne room of God. How precious is that? It comes from the throne room. Tonight, if I had a topic for the message, it would simply be standing guard. Standing guard. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 12. I just want to read one verse in opening. We're going to cover a little bit of ground right here. The Bible says in verse number 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." Brother Jim, would you open in prayer? Amen. As you're seated, turn and touch two or three people and say, "You're not my enemy." All right, now you got to say it and mean it. You're not my enemy. Amen. I'm reminded of when the boys were little. At one point in time in their life, they actually were little. My wife can witness that. I've got pictures too. They were little. I would come home from work back when I had energy and strength. You know, you're young. And me and the boys would get on the floor and we'd wrestle. I mean, we'd wrestle, you know. And it wasn't nothing for me to get on the floor. They'd come, they'd try, you know, they're bringing everything they have to Dad to try to, you know, pull one over on Dad. They figured out they'd get one on one side and one on the other side. But Dad's have peripheral vision, you know. So we know, you know, watch it, you know. And you have those quick reflexes, you know, and now, it's been many years since we've wrestled on the floor. Not fixing to wrestle on the floor with my boys anymore. You smart man. I wave the peace flag, you know. But as we fight for our families spiritually, there is a time that we need to stand up. There is a time that we need to quit being silent. There is a time that we need to say things in love. And we need to speak the truth. That time is now. In the first part of chapter number 6, the Bible says, it's kind of ironic that it goes back to this, but the Bible says, it opens up with, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Verse number 2, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers," I'm just going to go ahead and read, "and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Can I tell you, your greatest investment is not, like Brother Eddie said, your 401k. It's not a hot stock tip or what money I'm going to make tomorrow. Your greatest investment is your children. That is your greatest investment. You need to spend time with them. You need to pray with them. You need to pray over them. And I'll let you in on a little secret. They never get too old to quit being your children. They will always be your children. You will always pray for them. You will always carry the burden for them. You will always love them. You will always stand guard over them. And you will always tell them things that sometimes it's tough to tell them. Sometimes it's tough to meet them with the truth. Because you know what? We wrestle our flesh at the same time. But sometimes when God tells us to say things, we need to be obedient to God above whose feelings we're going to hurt. Because when I get to heaven and I stand before God, I don't want him to look at me and say, why didn't you do what I told you to do? I want him to look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter ye into a land of rest. Amen. We stand guard. I can remember Lazarus when he was little, a little guy. He still is somewhat of a little guy. But he's, as Gabe laughs, but Lazarus was probably about 2 or 3 years old when we hit the deer. Remember when we hit the deer? And he was in his car seat and he was asleep. And there were some deer that were crossing the road. We were traveling late at night and I thought I could go kind of in between them because there was no way I could stop. Well, the one deer on the left got spooked and he rode right in front of the car and I just nailed him, you know. And Laz was crying, you know, it's middle of the night, we're side of the road, you know, and hit a deer. And he was just so shaken up by that ever since then, and even to this day, the young man is 20 years old. To this day, if you're driving, it doesn't matter what hour you're driving, he's going to be awake. He's going to be watching. He's going to be standing guard. I can remember many times that we'd be driving back and I'd be tired, you know, and you get, you know, like that. And you think, man, just a few more miles and we'll be there, you know. And Laz, he always sit right behind me, and he'd get right in my ear. Dad, are you awake? You awake? Like, son, I got this. I got this. Dad, you're about to fall asleep. Why are you in the other lane? You know, Dad, wake up. And, you know, he would keep on prodding me and keep on keeping me going. That's our job as parents, to stand guard, to watch out for the wiles of the devil. We don't wrestle, the verse number 12 says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Powers, principalities. I want to stop right here. Your enemy is not the president of the United States. I'm not going to get many amens on that. That's not your enemy. We wrestle against spiritual darkness in high places. There's darkness in high places that we have no idea about it. And we wrestle against that. And we fight against that. When was the last time you saw a wrestling match and they come in together and they said, all right, ready, go. And the one person just falls over on the ground. Oh, I give up. They don't do that. They fight. They fight with everything that's within them. But we as Christians, we've backed off. We've said, you know what, we don't want to say that to that person. We're going to back off a little bit because it's just not worth it because we're tired. Lord, we're just tired. You don't understand. But we're the ones standing guard for their souls. We're the ones that we need to stand up. And we need to say, no, you need to do the right thing. Because if we don't teach our children to do right, they'll never know to do right. They automatically know how to do wrong. It's automatically built in them. Amen. I didn't have to go up to my sons and tell them not to stick their hand into a fire because they felt that it was hot. Why? Because Tabitha would teach them from the time that they was real small, she'd cook in the oven and she would say, hot, burn a baby, hot. And so they would, hot, hot. And so they automatically knew that that was hot. They don't do that now, you know. It'd be kind of funny if they did, you know. But we teach them the right way. And then on the other side of that, it said, children, obey your parents. My mama and my daddy, they're just being an old stick in the mud. They ain't never had fun a day in their life. But you forget, one time in our life, we were your age. We understand what you've gone through. We understand what you're looking through. We understand what you see. And we're trying to wave the red flag and saying, hey, you're going down the wrong way. You're going down the wrong direction. It's time to get the train back on course. It's time to just come on into the station because you need to be going the right direction. Because if there's anything that I need to tell you out of love, I need to tell you don't go the wrong way. Don't go the wrong direction. When you go and you get on the interstate, there's all these big signs. And I'm amazed at how people don't pay attention to signs. You know, especially the speed limit sign. That's just a suggestion, you know. But what else I'm amazed at is an 80,000-pound semi-truck can stop at a red light, a light that's red, and goes when it turns green. There's no officer in front saying stop. There's nothing saying stop, but that red light says stop, so the truck stops. We are the warning. We are the warning, parents, to say, stop. Don't go that direction. Don't go that way. Listen, the right's not green. The light's not yellow. Or as my wife says, sometimes that light was orange, which is between yellow and red. That light was orange and it's more red, probably. But it's all right. But you know what? Stop. Because we're watching out for your souls, young people. We're trying to tell you the right way to go. And parents, they never get too old for you to put in your 2 cents worth. You say, well, they've grown and they got a family of their own. I don't want to stick my nose in their own business. You know what? If nobody tells them, they're not going to know. I'm not telling you, you know, I have a lady I work with. And I tell her all the time, I said, I found your nose. It was in my business. She never really thinks that's funny, but she's always sticking her nose in my business. You know, I'm like, I got this. Back off. You know? I'm not talking about do this, but I'm talking about stand guard. Pray over your children. Pray diligently over your children. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against attitudes, and we don't wrestle against all this stuff right here. Our battle is with Satan. Our battle is with Satan. There's one thing I found out about a snake. I may have told you before, but we lived in a house in Florida growing up, that me and my brother, this is back before we had, you know, we had three TV channels, ABC, CBS, and NBC. Me and my brother would sit on the back porch, and we could sit and we could watch the snakes pop their head up. You know, and listen, we never went in the backyard. That's not where we went to. We played in the front yard. So me and my brother, we'd walk, look at that one, look at that one, look at that one. And we were mindful of where the snakes were. But silly us, being boys, there was these snakes that are called black racers. Now you have to have a little wisdom when you're chasing the black racer. When we were kids, we didn't have no wisdom. I'm still working on getting some wisdom. If y'all have any extra, just give it to me, and I'll take it. So, yeah. So me and my brother, we see this black racer. It's different than a moccasin. You got another difference. So we see this black racer. The reason why they call them racers is because they're really fast. My brother said, Chris, go chase that snake. Okay. So I went and chased that snake. And I was like, man, that's pretty cool. That rascal is running from me, and I'm running to it. All of a sudden, that snake stopped, and I did too. I said, rut-row, Raggy. It turned around and came at me. I didn't stand still. I retreated, you know. And I thought, you know, that's how Satan does us. Sometimes we have him on the run. The devil's on the run. The next morning, we might wake up. We might be retreating. But the thing we got to remember is we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us. Every day is not going to be a victory, but we will win the war. Amen? We might not win the battle today, but tomorrow's a brand new day. Tomorrow, get up, put your armor on. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. And get up and say, devil, I'm going to really sock it to you today because what you did to me yesterday. I'm upset about what you did to my family, what you did to me, and I'm going to put you on the run in the name of Jesus. But what we'll do is we'll get so sidetracked and we'll get so busy with our day, we'll forget to pray, and we'll say, you know what? I'm just going to let that dog lie. No, what we need to do is address the situation. We've gone too long and not addressed situations in the name of I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. If we're standing guard and we're watching guard, the first thing that I'm going to do, have you ever been cruising down, especially through Alabama, I've noticed this. In some places in Georgia they have it. But they have these big tornado sirens. You know what those are intended to do? Nobody knows what those are intended to do. Those are intended to give you a warning. To tell you that, hey, a tornado is on the way, take cover. And sometimes in the middle of the day, if you're not watching the news, like me, on a bright sunshiny day, you'll hear one go off and you'll be like, where are they at? That's a test. This is not a test anymore. It's time for us to sound the alarm. The book of Isaiah says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm. Sanctify a fast. Sound the alarm at all costs. My goodness, sound the alarm. Let people know, hey, Jesus is coming. I like Sister Linda's shirt. It says, normal isn't coming back. Jesus is. Jesus is. Amen. We've heard it all our life. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. He is. He's still coming back. He's not come. I don't care who tells you he's already come back, but he ain't come back yet because I'm ready to go. I'm watching and I'm waiting and I'm taking everybody I can with me. But it's time for us to sound the alarm. It's time for us to stand up. The book of Matthew says, Matthew 10, I believe it's verse 26, to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. We need to be wise as serpents. I believe it was one of the presidents, I can't remember which one it was, he said, speak softly, but carry a big stick. Amen? I love that because, you know, we season our words with wisdom. But you know what? My wife will tell you I'm the most laid-back person that you'll ever want to meet. But there comes a point in time where when I stand up, that I mean what I mean. I am hard-headed. I am strong-willed. I'm not a person that's not going to do what's right. I'm going to stand for what's right. And when it gets time to stand, Brother Thomas, for what's right, I'm standing for what's right. Just in case anybody wants to know, Joshua 24:15, Joshua told the children of Israel, he gathered them all together, and he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers on the other side, the gods of the land, watch this, in which you live, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me, I don't care who it makes mad, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock whose name is Jesus. Amen. And I'm not moving from that rock. I've already got my mind made up that I'm going to make heaven my home. I'm not swaying this way and I'm not swaying that way. I'm going to make heaven my home because my foot is on the rock and my mind is made up. Are we going to have to fight the devil every day? Yes, we are. Or is it going to be a hard fight? Yes, it is. Because the bigger the battle, the harder the fight. Amen? And there is a target on your back. Because you are a target to the enemy. He's got a target on your back. And he's going to try and throw those fiery darts at you every single day of your life. When you wake up in the morning, those fiery darts, don't think that they might not come today because they're coming. But I want to tell you something. There is a shield that stands before you. Amen? And it's the shield of God. Hallelujah. I think about David. And I think about how he was just a little young man. And Brother Eddie, when I saw Trey up here preaching, he reminded me so much of what I think David would have looked like. Just a small young man, but what he had to say was powerful. Amen. And I think about David, and we go back to the story of David and Goliath. David was just simply sent by his father to bring a meal to his brothers. He had sandwiches and probably a few little chips, and he brought it to his brothers, and he hears this big, huge Goliath was his name. And he looks and he says, who is he? You hear how he's talking about my God? And everybody else says, shh, be quiet. He might hear you. Be quiet. And David said, now hold on a second. He's not going to talk to my God like that. Saul said, now hold on. If you're going to go down there, we're going to have to load you up with some kind of body armor. We're going to have to, you know, get you all suited up. And what David said, Brother Eddie? I have not proved thee, oh hallelujah, I have not proved this, but there's one thing where my faith lies. It's in God. It's in Jesus. And he told stories about how he conquered the lion and God gave him strength, how he conquered the bear and God gave him strength. And he said, the God that I serve is well able to give me in my hand this giant that is before me. Amen. And I want to give you this little nugget right here. If there is a Goliath in front of you, that's because there's a David inside of you. Come on, somebody. There's a David inside of you. Goliath was so big that he had a man that actually held a shield in front of him. He held a shield in front of him. David came by. He just had his trusty old sling. He didn't even have nothing to kill the giant with. He comes by the stream on the way to kill the giant that God already told him he's going to give him the giant. He picks up 5 smooth stones. Because Goliath had 4 brothers. You can read it. Goliath had 4. And of course he knew if he's taking out Goliath, it's going to be game on. Watch this though. David picks up the stone. Goliath says, what? You're going to make a mockery of me? Sending this little guy right here to try to kill me? I'm going to tear you from limb to limb. Hasn't the devil tried to tell us that before? This is going to be it. I'm gonna rip you from limb to limb spiritually, and I'm going to tear you apart. And David said, you come at me with a sword and a shield. But he didn't even have his faith in that rock and that smooth stone or in his ability. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But there is somebody that empowers us, and his name is Jesus. And he's never been defeated, and he never will be defeated. And I want you to see the whole part of this story. It's the reason why I'm going here. He picks up the rock, and what happens? He slings it, and he hits the Goliath right, and Goliath falls down. You think he's dead, right? He's not dead. David did exactly what he said. He said, I'm going to cut your head off, and I'm going to take it to the gate. What we do is we fight the devil, and we'll knock him out, and we'll stun him for a little bit, but we won't take that sword of truth out, our Bible, and we won't cut his head off and say, devil, you're not going to do that again. We'll let him keep, come on somebody, it's got quiet in here real fast. We'll let him keep coming back and coming back and coming back and stealing our joy and stealing our peace and stealing our hope and stealing our strength and stealing our health. We'll let him keep coming back, and it got quiet in here again. Coming back and back and back and stealing and stealing and stealing. The Bible says he came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come, why? That you might have life and have life more abundantly. Abundant life is not having a big bank account. Abundant life is having Jesus. That's having abundant life. If I've got Jesus, I've got it all. Would you rather have $1 million in the bank account or know that all your bills would be paid for the rest of your life? Come on. Does God not take care of us? Every single day. Every day. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Don't look at that person that you're fighting against at work and say, that sorry so-and-so, I wish they'd just get in a car wreck. I just want them to take a day off. I need a rest. No, we should pray for protection. Because it's not that person that's coming against us. It's the devil that's coming against us. Amen? I quote the verse many times, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. We forget the second part. No tongue, every tongue that comes against me, I will cast down. Why? Because I am a child of God. And you're not going to say things about me that aren't true. Because I am a child of God. Amen. Come on, somebody. Y'all quiet in there. We wrestle. David took the head of that giant. He cut it. Carried it by the, he didn't carry it, you know, he carried it by the hair of his head. Drug it all the way back to the city. And set it in front of the gates, the city gates. And he said, that's what God did. That's what God did. You don't understand, there is Goliaths that are in your life that you've let just wreak havoc every single day. And you don't know how, I don't know, many times you've turned to God and said, God, I don't know what to do. And God said, if you'll take the sword out, I'll give you the head of your enemy. But the thing about it is, with a snake, what I was getting back to with a snake, when a snake comes at you, if you stomp the head of that snake cannot do anything. Can't do nothing. Come on, somebody. When Jesus gave up his life on the cross, the Bible says he bruised the head. Come on, somebody. This is good right here. He bruised the head of the serpent. He already gave you the victory. You just have to reach out and get it. Come on, somebody. He already gave you the victory. You just have to reach out and get it. But we'll say, what was me? This has happened to me. This is the worst thing. That doesn't sound victorious. It doesn't sound like what David said. David knew who he trusted in. We're talking about a little, the Bible says he was a ruddy young man. He was a small frame man. A little person. But he stood up because he knew God was going to take care of everything. Because he knew he had proven God. The second part of verse 12, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We turn on the news, and many times we'll turn on the news and I can't believe this. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe this and I can't believe that. You know? Why not? There is wickedness in this world. General MacArthur said every battle that's fought on this earth was first fought in the heavens. He had it right because that's what the Bible says. The battle is fought in the heavens first, and then it's fought down here. Amen? There is wickedness. I tell everybody, I said, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Evil is evil that has always been evil. But God has always had a people. God has always had a people that have stood up, and they've always, like Brother Eddie said, they've always been little in number, but they've been mighty in God. Why? Because they knew where they stood. What I'm telling you tonight is dig your feet in. Don't just, I started to bring one of Tabitha's little pot and soil things and some pot and soil, and I started to bring some little seeds. Gabe's got a little garden thing going on. And, you know, when you plant the seed, and it's you're in God's will, God plants the seed in your life. Plants you in that dirt. And for a while, you look around and you think, kind of dark in here. God, what are you doing? And the devil comes and he starts bringing doubt. It's dark. You're all alone. What's going to go on? What's happening? And all of a sudden, you start getting watered. The Holy Ghost starts watering you. And when you start growing, what I love about this time of the year, I love going past these farmland and see where they planted. And it seems like it grows a foot every day, Sister Linda. And it grows and it grows and it grows and it grows. God's got a plan and God's got a purpose. And you better watch who you hang around with. You better watch who's in your circle. You better watch who you have praying for you. Amen. I want somebody praying for me that's full of the Holy Ghost, that's really going to get a hold of God. Amen. I want somebody on my team. You know, when we played football, we didn't want the people on our team that were only going to halfway give it. You could always tell at practice if they were the ones that were going to halfway. We'd always tell them they're going to be riding the pine. You're going to be sitting on the bench. You know, that's all y'all are going to be doing. Because if you're not going to give 100% for God, that's what God wants. 100%. Give me 100% of everything that you've got. 100%. He comes in. He anoints us. We bloom. We grow up to be what God wants us to be. Amen. But what's the deal? We're planted. We're rooted in the Word of God. We're not going to move. We're gonna hear people talking to our lives and tell you, don't go this direction. Don't go that direction. What God's trying to do is God's trying to be the megaphone. He's trying to tell you, hey, I'm trying to use this person as a mouthpiece to let you know that there is a calling on your life. Come on, somebody. And you need to go in this direction, because if you don't go in that direction, it's not going to turn out good for you. We read in Sunday school this morning that God has a plan for our life. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, God has a plan for our life. The Bible says He'll make the road rise up to meet us. And if He does that, we take the step, He rises up to meet us. Are we going to have battles? We talked about being on the yellow brick road in the Wizard of Oz, and that always reminds me of that. As long as I stay on the yellow brick road, as long as I stay in tune with God, and as long as I'm in the right standing with God, I have the power. No matter if it looks like I'm not going to win, God has always won. No matter if it looks like it looks bad. The doctors come in, they give you bad reports. The surgeon comes in and gives you bad reports. But you know what? God gives the final report. God gives the final report. Amen? I can remember, and I don't know who this is for, but I just feel like sharing it. I can remember in closing, whenever Tabitha was, we were going to have kids. Tabitha was trying to get pregnant with Lazarus, which we didn't know was Lazarus at the time. He's alive. Amen. She didn't have any surgeries at the time, and the doctor told us, look, if you're going to have kids, you might need to go ahead and think about, you know, because it ain't looking too good. And long story short, we went and prayed with the preacher that met us. It was all just divinely orchestrated. I'm talking about battles that you fight. And all I've ever wanted, Sister Linda, was a family. That's all I ever wanted. And I felt like whenever I got that report, I received that report partially, Brother Thomas, because that's what the doctor said. But I thought, you know what? God is bigger than this. It's nice to hear that God is bigger, but when you're in the battle, when you're in the fight of your life, when you're in that storm, it's hard to see anything else but the storm. Amen? long story short, God healed Tabitha. She was able to have Lazarus. And the doctor told her, "This is something odd that I see, but there is a scar in your body where this cancer once was. Have you ever had surgery?" She said, "No." She said, "Well, it's odd because it looks just like somebody has been in there and removed that." She came home from the doctor's appointment and told me that. This is how I tell you God's in the details. I had been praying, "God, if you heal her body and it's really you, I need to know. Let there be a mark so I know." And I told her, I said, "I've been praying that." And God answered my prayer. In the battle, I knew God was good. But when we came on the other side of it, when the water calmed and everything was peaceful, I realized that Jesus was still at the captain of my boat. He still had everything under control. You see, it wasn't him that was startled. It wasn't him that was shaken by the battle that I was in. It wasn't him that was feeling all the stress and the anxiety and the worry and the tears. It wasn't him who was crying at night. It wasn't him, because he knew what the miracle would be. It was me. It was me. It was my faith. But going through that and seeing, I'm telling you, the devil is real and he don't like you. That's the truth. But I'm telling you, there's victory on the other side of this battle. If you just push through. If you just push through. You just push through. You just push through. You got to keep on keeping on. You can't stop. You got to keep on, keep on, keep on, keeping on. Me and my dad, he used to, when he was a truck driver before he passed away, he would call me up back before we had cell phones where you could text. That was many moons ago. He'd call me up and he'd say, "Son, I need your help," which meant that I'd have to help him unload the 18-wheeler. That wasn't no easy job. He said, "I need you to help me unload it." Okay. So I'd get up early in the morning, 2 o'clock. I'd go and meet my dad someplace close to where we lived. And Dad had a truck with no AC, and it was hot. And we'd have them windows rolled down, back before we had comfortable vehicles and stuff. And we was going down the road, and you couldn't fall asleep in that truck because it was shaking you so bad. It was shaking and shaking. And we get to where we unload, and we unload in these 80-pound boxes of meat. Sister Linda, when we started, you know, I was a young man back then. I was 16, 17 years old. I had a lot of energy. We'd start, Brother Jim, and we'd start lugging them boxes of meat. And you get about a quarter way to the trailer, and you think, "We're never going to finish. We're going to." And you get halfway done, you look up, Brother Keith, and you say, "I'm going to die. Right here. This is where." Now, mind you, the reefer unit is set to minus 40 degrees, and you're dropping sweat. You know, and your arms are like this, and your feet are like this, and you're going, I'm only 16 years old. I'm going to die. Right here. I'm going to die. My dad would always say, "Just put your head down. Keep on working. Put your head down. Keep on working." Put my head down. We keep working. It didn't happen 5 boxes, 10 boxes, 20 boxes. When I quit counting, and I just started one at a time, one at a time. It's like the old song, "One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus." One day at a time, one day. Directly, my dad would say, "We're almost done." And I would see 2 or 3 boxes. It wasn't because I was looking towards the finish line. It's because when I got in, the battle was one battle at a time, one day at a time. I keep pushing through. I keep pushing through. I'm pushing through this day. I'm pushing through tomorrow. I'm pushing through the next day. I'm pushing through the next day. And I'm going to see that finish line. Amen. I'm going to get to that finish line. It might be tomorrow. It might be today. But I'm going to get to that finish line. My point is, dig in. Don't back down. Stand up. One box at a time. If it has to be one box at a time, let it be one box at a time. My wife, forevermore, she always tells me, "It doesn't have to all be done today." When I do a project, it has to all be done today. No matter what it is, it'll all be done today. I used to set up T-posts in our junkyard we had in Florida. And one of the elderly guys, he said, "How many posts you put in the ground?" "It's 10 o'clock, it's about 100. He said, "Papa, Rome wasn't built in the day." I don't understand what that meant, but you know, now I do. But I understand, if I don't win the battle today, I'm going to be victorious tomorrow. And I'm going to have the victory tomorrow. Because I've got my foot on the rock. As the song says, I've got my mind made up. The devil might come at me with everything he's going to bring, and that's all right. But I'm coming with Jesus, who's more than enough. I said, I'm coming with Jesus, and he's more than enough. Amen. Everybody will stand with your head bowed and eyes closed. I want the music to come if they would. I just want to play Jesus, just the song Jesus. If you're here and you need a touch in your body, if you need help, if you're facing things in your life that you've not told anybody about, you're concerned about things, you're concerned about the direction that things are going, you're concerned about what you should say to that loved one, I want to tell you something. There is power in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that the mention of his name, at the very mention of his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. There is nobody above Jesus. They were singing that song, Tabitha was singing that song, the Revelation song. And it talks about the holiness of God. God is holy. He requires us to be holy. He requires us to stand for holiness. Amen. If you need the help and you need a touch in your body, these altars are open. As we're singing this song. Thank you.
Jesus. Thank you.
He's my comfort when I'm weary. He's my shelter from the storm. He's my armor when I'm in battle. In the cold, he keeps me warm. He's my comfort when I'm weary. He's my shelter. Storm. He's my armor when
God is great, and thank you, Brother Chris, for that powerful message. Standing guard. Amen. What a wonderful, timely message. I thought as Brother Chris was bringing that message, and he brought it in so wonderfully about how we stand for our family and our children, too. And I've never been in the military, but I understand that they do post guards. And while they're standing guard, the barracks are full of sleeping comrades. They're people. They're the men and women or whoever it is the situation. And their life basically is in the hands of that guard who's standing guard. So it is a serious matter is what I'm trying to get across to us. Amen. So sometimes when you're standing guard, it may not be just for yourself. It might be for your family or your circle of friends. So powerful, powerful message. So timely. Thank God for that, Brother Chris. God bless you. And you're going in Tuesday, you said, for next Tuesday. All right. We're going to keep him in our prayers too. And this Tuesday, Brother Tom's going in. Amen. So let's be much in prayer for those who have procedures done. Sister Abby? I'm sorry, who is that? Oh, okay. Let's hold Chloe up in our prayers. And I know God knows that situation. So even if we don't know the person, God does. And we can say, Lord, be with that person. And yes. Absolutely. Remember that situation as well. And two, I don't even know the family. I know Sister Brenda was sharing with us today that the results from that Amber Alert from last night was not good. I understand that the man who had kidnapped, I guess his daughter, went on a killing spree and killed the mother, killed the baby, or the little girl, and then turned the gun on himself and killed himself, and also shot the grandmother. Horrible, horrible situation. You can't even imagine the grief that family's going through. I don't know them, but again, God does. So let's pray for peace for that family and healing for that person that is still alive. And let's just pray for our nation. My goodness, there's some things going on right now that the devil's just really, really working through people. But you know what? Greater is he that is within us than he that comes against us or he that's in the world. So as we close in prayer tonight, let's remember all of these prayer requests. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just want to love you and thank you, God, for this wonderful day, the message we've heard tonight, for those who came forward, God, for their deliverance, for their victory, God, and for their healing. You're such a mighty God. You can supply each and every need that we have. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us the power to stand guard over the wiles of the devil. They're evil, and they're continuously coming against us, but we know we're going to be victorious through Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for each and every one of these requests tonight. The names that were mentioned, the prayer needs, and the prayer situations, those that are going in for procedures to be done. God, we pray your Holy Spirit would be with each and every one. Promote healing in their bodies, touch them, and make them whole. Now, Father, we just pray, God, for your divine protection as we leave here tonight. Keep us safe from all harm and danger. Giving you all praise and honor and glory. Asking these blessings in Jesus' name. May God bless you. Have a wonderful evening and a great week. God bless you. Amen.